people have always been writing stories. It's a human condition, right? It's a human impulse. Fan fiction is just a name that we give to stories where parts of it have been written before.
In the survey that I put out for this article, one of the questions I asked was what people would want to know from this kind of a story. One of the most common answers I received was that people were very interested in learning a basic history of fan fiction. So I sat down with Paul Booth, a professor in the College of Communications at DePaul University, to talk through a basic timeline of fan fiction, you know, where it starts based on your definition, what your different definitions for fan fiction might be, and all of the different things that that entails. So let's get into it.
I don't have a good understanding of how far fanfiction dates back. So like, maybe we should start there. Like, what would you say, ballpark, how many years has this genre of writing been around?
Depending on your definition of fanfiction, I think you can pinpoint the definition of fanfiction to a absolute start date, or it is lost in the vagaries of time. And the reason you could do both is because some people define fan fiction as amateur writing that is produced about copyrighted texts or texts that are owned by other people. In that case, the date of the first fan fiction is literally the date that copyright was invented. People write and have written stories about other people's characters since human creation. I mean, you can go back to the ancient Greeks and Egyptians and talk about the gods and the myths that they have, and people were writing their own stories about those entities. We don't really call it fan fiction because those things weren't copyrighted, but it was still a writing about other people's characters. Some of the first fiction that has been written about other people's work that I know of goes back to Don Quixote, the Cervantes story or novel back in the 1600s, I think. I can look it up real quick. Originally published in 1605. So we're talking, you know, centuries ago, people were writing their own version of the Don Quixote story and were using those characters because it was so popular. But we don't call that fan fiction because Don Quixote wasn't copyrighted. Copyright emerged in, it's called the Statute of Queen Anne in 1797. It was, oh, actually 1710. Sorry, 1710, earlier than I thought. From that doctrine in the UK, we get copyright. If you want to talk about fan fiction after copyright, I mean, there was fan fiction of Sherlock Holmes in the 19th century, Jane Austen in the early part of the 19th century. People have always been writing stories. It's a human condition, right? It's a human impulse. Fan fiction is just a name that we give to stories where parts of it have been written before.
I mean, what can you say about like the term fan fiction and when that started to be popularly used? Do you have any thoughts about that?
So fan fiction, the term fan really emerges about sports in the 19th century, early 20th century, but is very quickly appropriated by art and specifically theater. And then that gets very quickly appropriated in the 19-teens, 1920s. In terms of movies. And then it kind of just explodes after there. And the term fan becomes synonymous with kind of people who have a devotion to celebrity or a media text or a sports team or something like that. It's generally considered a kind of pejorative term up until very recently. In fact, it gets linked to all sorts of ridiculous things like mental illness and being kind of uncontrollable. But the term fan fiction really starts to emerge, I'd say, in the 1930s. So if you want to get historical about it, the first fan zine, like magazine produced by fans, was 1930 or 1931. And it's a great story, actually. They're science fiction fans. And there was a pulp magazine called Analog or Amazing Stories. I can't remember which one, but it was like the first big pulp science fiction magazine that started coming out in the 20s. It was edited by a guy called Hugo Gernsback. And if you're a sci-fi fan, the Hugos are named for Hugo Gernsback. And he had this idea that he'd publish science fiction and all these sci-fi stories, and then he'd have a letters column where people could write in and talk about the stories, and he would print those people's names and addresses. So it was the first time this had really happened. all these fans who were subscribing to the magazine suddenly had this database of other fans. And they started writing letters to each other. And they organized a convention, the first convention, sci-fi convention in 1930. And then from that, they were like, we should write our own stories. And so they put together their own fanzine. And it was so early. Like it was, it's like people don't even realize, like, this is 100 years ago. There's no Xerox machine. There's no mimeograph machine. They are like typing these stories out, multiple copies, right? So that's the first fan fiction, and it's called fan fiction. Actually, it's called fantification fiction or something like some scientific name. But then in the 1950s and the 1960s is when it really hits its heyday. And you get, that's when you start getting fanfic of TV shows. 1950s, a lot of fanfic about a show called The Man from U.N.C.L.E. And in the 1960s, of course, is Star Trek, when that just like explodes. That's when you start seeing a lot of slash fic.
Hi, Audrey cutting in for just a second to explain what slash fic is. Basically, that's a fandom term used to refer to fanfiction that features a gay male pairing as the main relationship. I personally hadn't heard this term used very much before speaking with Professor Booth. I'd kind of maybe heard it referred to more generally as maybe MLM or like ship fix. I don't know if any of that is ringing any bells for you. That's kind of what we're talking about here. Likewise, sometimes stories that feature gay women as the main pairing will be referred to as fem slash. We're about to get into some interesting stuff about diversity and representation and queer identities, especially in fan fiction. So those will be good terms to know. Okay, that's it. Getting back to it.
And I think the big difference is the fic that was being written in the 1930s was often male, written by males, written by men, and very much focused on emulating the things that they liked. And the fan fiction written in the 50s and 60s was largely by women. And it was about transforming the things that they liked. And the fiction written in the 60s about Star Trek especially was like, here's a show that we love, but really doesn't have any female representation or has just a little tiny bit. So let's rewrite this and make it about stories we want to see. So that's why there's a lot of romance stories. There's a lot of sexual stories. There's a lot of stories dealing with things that you didn't get in the series, but that were very, very much women's stories. Starsky and Hutch is a big one. Star Wars in the 70s and 80s. And then with the 90s and the internet is when suddenly, you know, you couldn't escape fan fiction and it was everywhere.
Yeah, so I liked what you were saying about the transition from men writing in a way that was trying to emulate what they liked about the story to women trying to create something from content they liked, but that wasn't showing them, you know, scenarios that they wanted to see. And something that did come up in a lot of the survey responses was queer representation. Mm-hmm. Where does that start to come in?
We start to see a lot of queer representation in Star Trek, in the Star Trek era, the 1960s, and then some in the 1950s. But if you want to talk about kind of the pre-calling it fanfic, there was queer Sherlock Holmes fiction. In the 19th or late 19th century. It was underground. Homosexuality was illegal in the UK until the 1960s. If you were writing queer fic or if you were a queer person, it wasn't something that you advertised, but it was there. And there were fan groups that met up that were queer fans of Sherlock Holmes in the early 20th century. I remember I was doing a project where I interviewed fans at a Sherlock convention, and one of them who was in her 60s recalled her father, who had passed away by that point, but was a Sherlock Holmes fan in the 1920s and was queer, attending kind of queer meetups at pubs, but it was all underground and it was all like super hush-hush. You could not talk about it. So I think there's always been a kind of queerness to fanfic. They're kind of queer stories, queer narratives, even if they're not about sexuality. They are queer, right? They're taking a narrative that we know and then twisting it and changing it and turning it into something unique and individual and beautiful. But fic that deals specifically with kind of sexuality, I'd say that's kind of late 50s, early 60s is when we start to see that.
And there you have it. That is a brief history of fanfiction in its many forms. In the article, I go into a little bit more detail on negative perceptions of female fans, on queer themes in fanfiction. So if you were interested in any of that, check out the article because I do go into a little bit more detail, give some more depth and nuance. Okay, thanks for listening.